All right. Well, praise the Lord. How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Me too. Welcome those of us here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Made Me Glad with Praise the Name of Jesus. Bless the Lord forever, and I will trust Him at all times. He has delivered me. Thank you.
saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Forevermore, you are.
Y'all can think about a pick a hymn tonight if we're going to do that. So we'll sing, I Will Call Upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen. Anybody got a hymn? Or a tune? Or a lyric? 437? Send the light. All right. Send the light. 437. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's a good pick of him. Amen, man. Send that light. Send it. Very good, very good. All right. Well, amen. You got some praises out there tonight? Those of you with us online, good to see y'all. Welcome, welcome. Any praises, testimonies, encouraging words, verses of Scripture? That about covers it. Anything? No? Up there? Anything coming up there? Praises, testimonies, encouraging words? Oh, a prayer request. Okay. Well, we'll get to those in a minute. All right, all right. Well, let's hit the prayer request. Bobby, when you find yours, you let me know. He's looking. All right, on the prayer request, I've got Sharon Heibarger is in the hospital. Is that correct? In the hospital. and they're struggling. She's struggling with some hypertension, high blood pressure issues. So we want to be in prayer for her tonight as they deal with trying to get that under control. And Terry and Vince Kimball have the COVID, so they got the COVID. They were coming down with it, I want to say, last weekend. And so now they've changed the CDC's changed it from 5 to 10 now. Now you got to go 10 days or something like that. I don't know. It was 5 days or now it's 10. They'll change it next week. Just wait. Hold on. I'll change it again about the time you get used to what's going on. Well, they're going to change it one more time. But anyway, Terry and Vince, we'll be in prayer for them. Continue to pray for Alita's back, that she would continue to heal from this back surgery and her job situation, that the Lord would lead and guide her to the next job. She's in need of employment, wanting to work, needing to work. So pray God would open that door for her. And then praises, Robert Holder is over his COVID. And Ron Wade, who was sicker than a dog on Sunday, sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good tonight. So Ron, I asked, got to try to get a hold of Ron. I want to say on Monday, he called back and I said, "Well, you know, how you doing?" He said, "Man, I'm doing pretty good." He goes, he went home. He said he went to bed, slept 20 hours, and woke up, went to work on Monday. So I feel pretty good. I guess sleeping 20 hours will do it, amen? That's kind of restorative, rejuvenating, man. 20 hours in the bed, that'll get you right. So Ron Wade's doing better. So those are some prayer requests. Those are some praises. And then Robert Hobbs, our little bearded buddy in the back that's been visiting with us and working with our youth on Wednesday nights, he is down tonight, not with the COVID, but he's got, you know, down here in southeast Texas, everything stays green all winter, especially when we're having a winter like this, right? You know, I'm like, would the grass just quit growing? No, the grass and the weeds, you're going to have to mow them again. Here it is. You know, I remember we living in Dallas and Kansas, man, you'd cut that grass about the last week, 2 weeks in October. That grass is done till March. Not here. But anyway, he got into some poison ivy, and he's got it on his face. So that's not good. So we want to pray for Robert Hobbs. I gave him the long skinny. Without putting your eye out, take a sharp knife, pop those blisters, and get the anti. Do not get that stuff in your eye, and don't poke your eye out. Amen? That's the main thing. Do not get that liquid in your eye, and do not poke your eye out with a knife. Scrape those things off. Put the anti-inflammatory. Paul McCormick told me that. Works like a charm. You bust that stuff and get that anti-inflammatory on there, it heals up. So good, good, good. I've been doing that ever since. All right, so Robert Hobbs, any other prayer needs? Prayer needs. Yes, sir, in the back. And what is his name? Chuck Jones fell off ladder. Okay. My soul. 20 foot. And broke neck. Bless his heart. Cracked skull. Or what did you say, cracked skull?
Yeah, skull fracture.
Skull fracture. Is there, or do they say, is he conscious? Okay. Brain swelling. Amen. All right, all right. We'll lift that up. What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Marjorie? Okay. Marjorie behind you? Okay. You're being prayed for tonight, Miss Marjorie. All right. Very good. For peace. All right. What else? What else? Anything else? All right, let's hear that verse, man. Oh, that's a good one. Walk in the Spirit. Amen. There you go. That's a good one. Galatians 5:25. Thank you for that tonight. Anything else online? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We praise you and thank you for all your goodness and for all your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we are saved tonight, that we have received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that the blood of Jesus He shed on Calvary's cross covers us and, Lord, just removes the penalty of sin from us. And we are so blessed and thankful for that. And, Lord, we know where we're heading and we know what we have to look forward to. And, Lord, we know how blessed we are tonight. So we just praise You and thank You for that. Thank You for all that You've done for us thus far. Thank You for how You're leading and guiding and directing us individually and as a church. And, Lord, we're just thankful that You're here present with us here this evening by Your Holy Spirit as we gather around Your Word and we seek to teach and preach from it tonight. So, Lord, we love You tonight. We praise You tonight. We thank You for this Word. We thank You for these praises, Lord, these two men doing better, Robert Holder and Ron Wade getting over their sicknesses and stuff. And so, Lord, we just know that's a touch from You. We're thankful, Lord, for this weaker Omicron variant. And, Lord, we're thankful for the herd immunity that is coming about in the community with everybody getting it. And, Lord, we just pray, God, that it would not deviate, transition, mutate into something stronger. We pray, as we have prayed, we pray that it would mutate into something less even than what it is now. And then, Lord, we just know that You're in the middle of this. We know that You've heard our prayers, and not just our prayers, but many other thousands and perhaps hundreds of thousands of Christians across this land as we've prayed for this COVID thing to go away. Lord, we're just thankful that this variant is so less deadly and causes less hospitalizations. Lord, we're just thankful that people are getting over it. We lift up Sharon Heibarger to You tonight, Lord. In the hospital, we pray that You give those physicians wisdom and discernment on how to get that blood pressure down and, Lord, get her situated and get her vitals where they need to be. Lord, we lift up Terry and Vince to You tonight as they recover from the COVID. We pray that You would just quicken their bodies and, Lord, allow their bodies to mend and just shed the virus and, Lord, get past it and start to get their strength and stamina back. Lord, we lift up Terry and Vince. Alita's back. We lift her up to You tonight, Lord, and pray this back would continue to heal and come back together as 100%. And, Lord, we pray You might open that door, that next door for Miss Alita to walk through in the area of work, in the area of gainful employment. And, Father God, we just pray You help her. You just lead, guide, and direct her. And, Lord, just give her great wisdom as she seeks out that next job, that next career, as she gets ready to go back into the workforce. Lord, we lift up Robert Hobbs to You tonight, a young man working with our youth on Wednesday nights. We pray for this poison ivy that he's got on his face, Lord. We pray he not have a severe reaction to any of that. We pray there not be any kind of anaphylactic shock going on in his throat up there having that stuff so close on his face. And, Lord, we pray that You just begin to touch him and heal him. Allow that Benadryl to work and whatever else he's got at his disposal, Lord, we pray You get him over that quick. And then, Lord, we pray for this Chuck Jones falling off this ladder. We pray that You might bring that brain, that swelling down, Lord, and get that back to normal. And, Lord, we pray that You would heal the skull fracture, Lord, and that this broken neck, You would begin to mend that part of his body. We pray, Lord, that he not have any kind of long-lasting side effects or disabilities or anything from this fall, Lord. We pray that You might spare him from that. You might deliver him through this, and Lord, You might give him a testimony of healing that some folks in a church he don't even know about prayed for him, lifted him up on a Wednesday night, and God touched his body. So, Lord, we're lifting him up. We pray You might touch his body, touch his situation, and bring healing to Chuck Jones tonight. And then for Miss Marjorie, Lord, we just pray for peace. And, Lord, You know what's going on. You know what she needs. We pray You just might ease that burden. And, Lord, just give her the peace that passes all understanding. Thank You, Lord, for taking things from us. Lord, thank You for Your comfort. Thank You for Your love. And thank You for Your helps. Lord, we pray our minds would be attuned and be open tonight as we go through this Word, as we try to get this next Bible study in. And, Lord, we're thankful that we can be in it tonight. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, all right. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 17. Here we are marching on to chapter 17. Now, we're going to introduce it, of course, and so we're not going to get too far into it, but we will read the first seven verses. So I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Revelation 17. Those of you with us online, we're in the next chapter, Revelation 17. Can you believe it? Pastor Steve, man, by the time I get through this, I could probably go back and start it again because it's been so long since chapter 1, you know, because we had that COVID break in there for about a year. So, I don't know. I've got some different ideas. Next time I preach through it, you may get to hear it again. I got some different ideas on how I might preach through it. You know, this is my first time to teach through it, so stay tuned. There may be some fun stuff coming. All right, Revelation chapter 17, beginning of verse 1. It says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me." Of course, they're speaking to John the Revelator. This angel says, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drink with the blood, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns." Well, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. May he add to the wonderful word tonight as we go through it and give us some beginning understanding and some illumination. This is Antichrist's final world religion. We're going to see how it's going to get destroyed. Utterly destroyed. Now, here we are. We're coming now to chapter 17. And so the big question would be, what in the world is going on here? And when we come to chapters 17 along with chapter 18, we need to understand, first of all, that these two chapters, are you ready for this? These two chapters are inserted into the chronological flow of the book of Revelation. And so we do not get back to the chronological flow of time, if you will, of the book of Revelation until we get back to chapter 19. So what are you telling me, preacher? We can almost look at these two chapters, 17 and 18, Miss Vicki. We can look at them as another big parenthetical statement. We got another huge parenthetical section of Scripture. So where have we been so we know where we're going? All right, where have we been so we know where we're going? We have finished chapter 16, which was the pouring out of the seven bowl judgments. The pouring out of the seventh bowl in 1617 is actually followed immediately in time by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to end the great world battle per 19 chapter or chapter 19 verse 11. So that's kind of the time frame, 1617. And then it jumps all the way to Revelation 19, verse 11. That's how it tracks in time. Thus, again, making the point that chapters 17 and 18 are parenthetical. All right? Parenthetical here in the book of Revelation. So what is specifically going on with these two chapters? Chapter 17, which we began reading tonight, we'll begin studying through starting Sunday evening. Chapter 17 and 18 digress to look not at God's specific judgments. We just saw that in chapter 16, the specific judgments. Rather, these two chapters look at what has been judged, what is being judged. Those two chapters, 17 and 18, go back in time to describe the world system led by Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Those three things make up the unholy Trinity. Goes back to describe the world system led by the unholy Trinity before recording its destruction. Now, John the Apostle, the Revelator, he had already heard prophecies concerning Babylon's destruction in 14:8 and in 16:19. Now, the details of that destruction will be given in those remarkable visions. But man, you're so blessed tonight. I'm telling you, you're so blessed. Before we get to the visions, I told her I was going to scare her so she wouldn't be able to go to sleep. I'm just kidding when I said that, amen? I was just kidding. She's going to go to sleep nonetheless. But before we get to the vision specifically, we want to think about, or I want you to think about, I've been thinking about it the first part of this week, we want to think about this one world religion as it relates to humanity in these last days here at the end of the tribulation. This one world religion, it's going to be huge. It's going to be massive. It's going to be a machine, man. And so first, as we kind of introduce chapter 17 and 18, specifically more 17, first, some basic history on religion. What can we say about religion? Well, look at humanity. People are incurably, you cannot cure them of this. They are incurably religious because God created us to be worshipers. We're going to worship something. Amen? People, you and me, will inevitably worship someone or something. Someone or something. Our choices are either the one true God we worship, or if not the one true God, then false gods of our own making. We'll worship ourselves, we'll worship things, we'll worship money, we'll worship power. We'll find something to worship. We'll make our own God to worship, right? Humanity was created with a God-shaped vacuum. You ever heard that before? God-shaped vacuum? Humanity was created with a God-shaped vacuum, which people constantly seek to fill. That's why we have a drug epidemic. And that's why people can't quit drinking. They're constantly trying to fill that thing. And since the fall, man's innate longing to know God has been twisted and perverted. People still seek something to worship. They still seek something to worship, but no longer seek the true God. Now, you've heard of the term seeker churches. It's for people that are seeking God. There is no such thing. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, "There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God." You say, "Well, Pastor, I have seen before that individual or this person, this family member or this neighbor, they really were seeking God." Well, John 6:44 kind of clarifies that. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." When do we get saved? We get saved when the Holy Spirit's convicted us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And praise God, that's happened to us here tonight, or we probably wouldn't be here this evening, right? Humanity's need for a relationship with God is corrupted by a love of sin. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Still with me? Amen? So people are incurably religious because God created us. He created humanity. He created all the people of the world. God created them to be worshipers. Now, when I was talking about how we've got this God-shaped vacuum, where did that come from? Blaise Pascal, who was a French mathematician, a French philosopher, he got bit by the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church and actually got saved and became like a kind of a lay theologian up to the end of his life. He only lived to be 39 years old, but he did a lot of living in those 39 years. Blaise Pascal once said, if you've ever gotten on a bus, if you've ever gotten on a train, you've ever experienced any kind of mass transit, Blaise Pascal is the father of that. He's the father of moving people from point A to point B in a scheduled fashion, all right? Blaise Pascal. Smart guy. Blaise Pascal, he said this. He said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. So people are incurably religious. I mean, it's just something we got to do. And you say, well, preacher, I mean, you know, the churches are not as full as they used to be, and preacher, the churches are struggling. Yes, 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 but that don't mean people ain't worshiping. They still worshiping. They may be worshiping a hobby. They may be worshiping themselves. They may be worshiping a sport, but I'm telling you, they are still worshiping. Number two tonight, the usurper, talking about the devil here, talking about Satan, the usurper seeks to fill humanity's God-shaped vacuum. The devil does. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." So the demonic plays on people's, religious bent. We're bent to worship something, and so the demonic plays on that. False religion's powerful appeal comes from its promise to satisfy humanity's longing for the spiritual realm without bringing humanity under God's authority, right? God's authority. That's just where it's at. Thus, in their rebellion against the true God and because of their love of sin, fallen people willingly turn to these damning satanic religions. So what do? Well, we just keep praising God. That's what we're going to praise God for His grace. Yes, yes? We're going to praise God for His goodness. Amen? That's what we're going to do. Because God fully and God graciously and God mercifully seeks after folks even though people do not seek after God. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the preached gospel. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So, what are some conclusions we can make about false religion? I'll give you a few. As false religion is today, and there's a lot of it today, false religion will be even greater in the tribulation. Exponentially, logarithmically, I mean, big time greater in the tribulation. During the tribulation, all the world's diverse false religions will be reunited into one great world religion. The ultimate expression of false religion will be an essential element of Antichrist's final world empire in holding together his military and holding together his economic machine in how people trade and how people buy and holding together the very political structure. Only religion, think about this, only religion can unite the world in the most compelling way. Politics, economics, even military force are unable to overcome the world's cultural diversity. Only religion with its appeal to the supernatural can transcend the physical, can transcend the geographical, can transcend the historical, can transcend the socioeconomic, can transcend the cultural barriers to world unity. During the tribulation, people will desperately seek religion because of what will be happening in the world. And we've talked about it. We've been through it. We've talked about the trumpets, and we've talked about the seals, and we've talked about the bowl judgments. And like the blacksmith of old in his shop there with his big old hammer and his anvil and that piece of malleable steel down on that thing, and him swinging that hammer onto that red-hot steel. God's judgments through the seal, through the trumpets, and through the bowl judgments, they devastate the earth and they terrorize the inhabitants, the people of the earth, and thus the people will turn in desperation to Antichrist as their Savior. At the same time, you've got the witnesses, you got the two witnesses. At the same time, you got the 144 evangelists. At the same time, you've got the angel in mid-heaven. So there's two things going on here, but I think the majority of folks are going to go with the Antichrist. Can you get saved in the tribulation? I've certainly said you can, and I certainly said there are people that will be, but probably the majority of folks are going to go the way of the mark of the beast, the way of the Antichrist, the way of the one world order and all that jazz. So aided by the false prophet and hordes of deceiving demons, Antichrist will establish a worldwide religion. Now, chapter 17, verse 5 says this. We're going to look at one verse here. On her forehead, a name was written, 17:5, a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now, this is the last thing we're going to think about tonight as we kind of introduce these two chapters, specifically chapter 17. How can the future religious Babylon be the mother of all false religion? How can the religious Babylon, the future religious Babylon, be the mother of all false religion? It is very simple once we understand the sufficiency of Scripture and once we understand the continuity of the Bible. These two things, when we look at this, when we think about this, 17:5, when we get into this, if we know our Bible, we can connect the dots. To comprehend the Babylonian false religion of the future requires that we have an understanding of Babylon's role in the first false religion of the past. Where do you think I would turn for that? Anybody? I'm in the last book. Where do you think I'm going? Nope. I'm going earlier than that. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. It'll make sense when you see it. The light bulb, I promise the light bulb's coming on. The light bulb's not coming on, we need to get you a new light bulb. We need to get you a new one, all right? And we can do that. We'll get you an LED light bulb. That one lasts a long time. Genesis 11, beginning in verse 1. Have you found it? Genesis 11, 1. Here, I'll get a little sip of water. Let those online get close. All right, listen to this. It says, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, journeying east after the flood, Noah's descendants arrived at the site of Babylon, the land of Shinar. In history's first great humanistic effort, they decided to build a monument to themselves. I told you we've got to worship something. We're going to worship God, or we're going to worship something. So they decided to build a monument to themselves to make a name for themselves. But this act of rebellion against God also had religious implications. Brick towers, like the one they built, known as ziggurats, Z-I-G-G-U-R-A-T-S, ziggurats or ziggurats, were later used in false religions. Ziggurats had on their tops the sign of the zodiac, which was used by pagan priests to chart the stars. And through their observations of the stars, the priests supposedly gained spiritual insight and knowledge of the future. What is so sad about the sinful human condition is that such blatant, defiant rebellion against God is incredible. Just think about it. It is incredible on the part of those whom the flood was a recent event. They were generations, just a couple generations past the flood. They would be told about the great flood, why the flood had occurred. And yet here we are. It's still a recent event. It's still in their history. It's still in their memory. And they still decided to do it. In fact, who's the leader of this little thing going on here? His name is Nimrod. Nimrod, the apparent leader of the plot, was none other than Noah's great-grandson. Chapter 10, verses 9 through 12, the Word of God reads this. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, there it is, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. All right? From that land he went forth into Assyria and built Nineveh and Rehoboth-ir and Calah and Resen between Nineveh and Calah. That is the great city. So this proud, arrogant leader of Nimrod foreshadows here in Genesis the final Antichrist that we find in the book of Revelation. So, we know God judged the Tower of Babel, and he scattered those proud rebels from Babel per Genesis 11:8. We know that they took their false religion around the world with them. You can look at different cultures on different continents, and they all build what? Some kind of looking pyramid thing, don't they? I mean, the Incas and the Egyptians. And the people up here in the highlands of Canada, everybody wants to build a hill. The Chinese, everybody wants to try to reach the heavens, right? They take that false religion all over the world with them. In spite of the scattering, Babylon still remained a city in antiquity, still remained a populous center. And it remained an idolatrous center of false worship. At one point in the city's sordid history, it contained no less than 180 shrines dedicated to the goddess Ishtar. Even some of the Israelites were caught up in the idolatrous worship of Ishtar, one of whose titles was Queen of Heaven. Now, we end with this. Jeremiah rebuked them for doing this. He said, y'all ought not do this. This is wrong. This is idolatrous. You've got to stop. We're going to get judged if you don't. You need to quit it. You know, you've come from Egypt. You're into this idolatry. And this is going to lead to their downfall. I mean, he preached to them. He told them. And you know what they did? They remained defiant. They said, we are going to keep worshiping Queen of Heaven. And they got what they got. But that's where we end it tonight. Amen. Any questions? Online, any questions? In here, any questions? Do you see the continuity of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? It's tied together. Amen. All right. I've got to get groceries. Anybody else? I got gro-gros to get. No more of the questions. All right. We're going to end a little early then. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you that we could come out. And Lord, we pray for those in our community. We pray for those in our church family. We pray for those that we know and those that we don't know that are struggling right now with sickness, Lord. We pray you might touch them. You might bring healing to their bodies. Pray for those that want to be here or not, couldn't be here or not. Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for Brother John, Lord. We know he's had a little hospital stay and he's recovering. We just lift him up to you tonight. Lord, pray you might touch his body, bring healing to him. And Lord, we pray you might bring us together this Sunday morning. We look forward to assembling as a people, your people, with praise and adoration on our lips. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.